Thank you, Dr. Parikh, for inviting me here, and you and Dr. Condon for purchasing this line. And we're excited. It should be there sometime, probably next month, hopefully maybe running in March. And I'll give you an update next week on that. And I'll tell you about the name Lilliput in just a minute. See where that comes from. I've got some statistics too, and I don't know that these will agree with what we've already heard, but I hope they'll be fairly close. But the global nonwovens industry worldwide is valued at more than $14 billion at the roll goods level, and many times that in the end markets. Opportunities in the segment continue to hold for growth and have made it an attractive one around the world. In fact, growth of nonwovens continues to outperform that of related industries such as traditional textiles and paper. The industry has not been impacted largely by the textile segment movement into Asia. In fact, nonwovens' sophisticated technology coupled with the low labor intensity has protected it from Asian competition. Instead, Asia has presented itself as a strong growth area for many Western-based nonwovens manufacturers, who are looking to expand their businesses. By far the largest market for nonwovens globally remains disposable baby diapers. This is worldwide. You're saying it's declined here, but they're saying $21 billion worldwide. This came from Inda. Other hygiene-related areas such as feminine hygiene, adult incontinence item, and disposable wipes, as well as a variety of industrial applications ranging from automotives to home furnishings to roofing and construction to protective apparel, continue to be strong application areas for nonwovens. In terms of market penetration, the developed regions of North America and Europe are more mature, particularly in the hygiene segments where most consumers already use disposable diapers and feminine hygiene items. Despite this penetration, however, growth continues. According to statistics, the European nonwovens industry grew at 5 to 6 billion, 4.5 euro last year, while North American nonwovens sales increased 4% to 4 to 5 billion. Beyond these areas, growth has been more dramatic, albeit from a lower base. In both the Asia-Pacific and Latin American regions, nonwovens have been growing between 8 and 9% a year. Looking forward, growth of nonwovens is expected to come from increased penetration of existing applications in developing markets, as well as new application areas in developed regions, with manufacturers investing in new capacity around the globe. Companies situated throughout the nonwoven supply chain are expected to benefit. Now, who is this guy? Does anybody recognize the guy that's lying down?
No.
That is Gulliver. And this is a picture from the children's book, Gulliver's Travels. What you can't quite see is the little tiny people, and that's the name of the line. The Lilliputians, when Gulliver was taking a nap, came up and tied him down. Anyway, this system is designed by Technoplants, which is located in Italy, and it's designed for laboratory tests and trials. Same characteristics as full-size production machinery. 1 meter wide, of course, uses less raw material per run. And the interesting fact, as I jumped ahead, it's named after the tiny people of Lilliput in Gulliver's Travels. Case study is Southern Regional Research Center, U.S. Department of Agriculture, the new cotton research line featuring the Lilliput line. We've got some photographs here, and what's happened is in August of 07, SSRC purchased this system and to replace equipment lost to Hurricane Katrina. The Lilliput nonwoven line will use the SRRC's laboratory's existing cross-roll card to feed a cotton mat into the Lilliput crosslapper, which is pictured at the right here. The mat will then enter a pre-needle loom that provides downstroke needling action followed by upstroke using two needle boards and a working width of 1 meter. Maximum input speed is 15 meters per minute. Resulting fabric will be wound by a combined slitting and winding unit pictured at the right. And here are the more details. The crosslapper, working width 1 meter. It receives the fiber web from the carding machine, positioned directly at its feeding side. The web of fiber, after passing through a specific passage of conveyors inside the crosslapper, is then laid down at an angle of 90 degrees onto a floor apron. Due to the ratio between the feeding speed out of the carding machine and exit speed of the floor apron below the crosslapper, a predetermined number of web layers per square meter will be crosslapped and delivered to the next machine in the line. The crosslapper is driven by a series of motors and inverters and controlled via PLC and touchscreen. A series of limit switches control all movements of the machine. These and the PLC guarantee a particular preciseness of the lapping action and an easy control of the machine by the operator. And here's a picture, maybe not too clear, but there are all the parts, 1 through 8, of the machine and how it works. Take my word for it, it works. You can't tell it from the picture, but it does. The crosslapper is a type CL 1010L, can process natural or synthetic card webs. We had a lot of discussion because Dr. Parikh and Dr. Conlon, they don't know what they're going to be doing next year. And Paul, I guess you'll be really in charge of this, right?
Hopefully.
Okay. And somebody may call up next week and want you to do something different. And we hope this can achieve whatever you want. Feeding width, of course, is 1 meter. Delivery width is 1 meter. Production is 2 to 20 meters per minute. Voltage range 480, 60 hertz. And the control circuit is 110, and the total installed power is 262 kilowatts. Noise level, they've worked very hard to get that down. It's less than 78 dB, and no vibration. And we'll see how no comes out. I think you'll be pleased with that, too. Of course, the needle loom now is, I take that back. The no vibration is a crosslapper. There may be a little vibration on the needle loom, but not much. Needling action, downstroke followed by upstroke. Again, working width, 1 meter, 700 RPM strokes per minute. Needles per linear meter per board, 4,000 plus 4,000. Stroke length, 60 millimeters. Number of boards, 2. Maximum input speed, 15 meters a minute. Needle looms are made according to a finite element analysis code, ANSYS, that is used to design all aspects of the machine. This enables an engineer to study all types of vibration and stress which have an impact on the main frame, the needle beam, the crankshaft, and the connecting rod movements during operation. The frame is assembled after welding and then stress relieved at 600 degrees C before it's being machined. The drive modules which generate the movement of the needle boards are fitted inside the top and bottom of the frame. Each half module is composed of 2 main connecting rods. Each crankshaft has 2 counter-rotating flywheels. This is to reduce the vibration to a minimum. Each connecting rod is standard cooled by forced air with no fiber contamination. The flywheels are driven by a helical gear reduction box, which is oil lubricated. After assembling, all looms undergo a test run where the vibration level is checked and reduced to under 0.1 millimeter by balancing all the mechanisms. The needle penetration and the stripper plates are independently adjustable by AC motors that drive a series of screw jacks, two for the stripper plate and two for the needle penetration. The position of the stripper plate and the needle penetration can be seen on the control panel. The main drives an AC motor and inverter. All adjustments are possible on the control panel via potentiometers, and various positions of the stripper plate and needle penetration can be seen by a series of displays. The needle loom is soundproofed with a special material. Safety devices are added to avoid accidents. All looms are equipped with a draw-off calendar. Pneumatic cylinders for the gap adjustment are used. Here's a picture. You've got a diagram also. Tandem means the machine is working with down and up needling action. Each motor is independently adjustable, so the needling action is possible with downstroke different from upstroke. Even the stripper and bed plate are independent. And here is the needle loom. Yeah, okay. Fiber coming in here, and the first needle board coming down, and the stripper plate here, and then coming on through, second needle board coming up, and stripper plate there, and exit on out. Got a compressive bat feeding system, one of the components. Universal system made up of two converging conveyors with PVC slats. Conveyor takes the fiber bat to the finger rollers, which compress it further. The bat feeding system enables the operator to use the loom either as a pre-needle or finished needle loom. Characteristics allow the dimensional features of the fiber bat to be preserved. For many applications, this can ensure zero detrimental draft. The system is adjustable to adhere as closely as possible to the first needle row. The stripper and bed plate are shaped to fit the finger's profile. Now, the take-up is this combined slitting and winding unit. And this is obviously a drawing and not a photograph, but that's what it's going to look like. Combined slitting and winding unit receives the needle felt from the draw-off calendar of the pre-needle loom. It then slits the felt according to the preset width and winds it on the winding unit. And there are the different parts of that: the frame, the slitting blades, the rising roll batcher, and the main drive unit. And the last thing is the commercial. Technoplants is the company in Italy that we represent, and I'm located in Greenville, and email and website and phone numbers there. And that's it. Thank you very much.